Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guest. And tonight we have a very, very special guest who I'll introduce in just a moment. But before I do, I want to ask you just to stop and think for a while. One of the biggest problems we have today is that people no longer think. Now, we are facing the possibility of going to war with Iran. And this may be a very easy little war and last just a few weeks at the most, or maybe it would draw into a major confrontation with the entire Islamic world and plunge us into World War III, a clash of civilizations. I don't know what lies ahead, but I do know that so much of what's going on just doesn't make sense. It was just yesterday that President Ahmadinejad of Iran announced that now Iran had 3,000 centrifuges up running, and apparently the centrifuges are used to enrich uranium. Now, he insists, of course, that they are trying to enrich uranium for peaceful use, but actually the Russians are supplying the fuel rods for the nuclear power plant that's being built there. At least they have contracted to do that. So since the Russians are supplying them with enriched uranium, why do they insist on enriching it on their own unless they're trying to build bombs? And if you wanted to inflame the United States and the rest of the world against Iran, you couldn't do a better job than they're doing. And now, why did they announce that they had 3,000 centrifuges up running unless they want to give the West a justification for an attack on Iran? None of this makes sense, because war brings terrible devastation and death, and yet it would appear that the leaders of Iran are intent upon doing just that. On one hand, and it appears that the leaders of our government are intent upon going to war with Iran. And remember one thing, when you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end. Well, that is the background. Let's get to our special guest this evening, Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Bob, how are you tonight?
Pretty good.
Okay, well,
how are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Just watching things unfold here, the leaf is just going along with the stream as we head towards the waterfall. But I think that some very difficult times lie ahead financially and spiritually, and certainly from the point of view of the future of our nation is concerned. But all we can do is just act as observers. Well, Yesenia, what do you think about some of the things that are going on? I'm sure you're aware that apparently Citicorp is going to be laying off 10 or 30,000 of its employees, and Circuit City is going to fire 3,000 or 4,000 employees who make $11 an hour and hire them back at $8 an hour. And sounds to me like they're trying to just grind down the wage level here in America. Is that your impression?
Without question. Citigroup is moving all those jobs to India. And the other changes are of pecuniary interest, if you may. They just want to screw their employees. And I saw a couple of them interviewed, and they say, gee, we did everything we could to do a good job, and look what happened to us.
Well, I don't know if you read that article in the Wall Street Journal about Dr. Blinder, economist at Princeton, who said that America could lose between 30 and 56 million jobs. He thinks it's between 30 and 40 million jobs, and there are no jobs to replace them. And it sounds like he's suddenly taken a second look at globalization, come to the same conclusions that you have. Professor Blinder is, he's taking off the blinders. We'll be right back with Bob. Hi, Bob. Did you see that article in the Wall Street Journal about Professor Blinder?
Yes, and I did quote him in this issue. that arrived to you today.
All right, I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it unfortunately, it's 60 pages.
60 pages?
Well, I didn't publish on Saturday, and I didn't think I'd get a lot of feed over the weekend, and I was wrong, and so we got a big one, and now we're going to be publishing again on Saturday instead of tomorrow, so you might get another 40 or 50.
All right, fine. Well, I always look forward to it, Bob, no matter how long it is. It's always exciting, and you cover so many things so well.
Well, we try very, very hard, and we know what to look for after all these years, and it makes it relatively simple, but in the context of what we cover, it's never simple because of the tremendous diversity of the information that we bring forward. You were talking about the Middle East. I got a question today. Do you think the president of Iran is deliberately doing what he's doing to incite a war? And I hadn't had that question before. And my answer is I don't know, because I don't have any more information than most other people. And it doesn't seem normal and logical to me that he would do that. And so, if I had to guess, I'd say no. We discussed this here before, and the plans for the Middle East, which were laid out by the top illuminists some 25 years ago, have been made a mess of by the neocons, and the Illuminous Masters are very, very disturbed about it, needless to say. And I think that what's going to happen is that they are going to continue to pull not to have conflict in Iran and to remove allied troops, we'll call them, out of Iraq. And, of course, George doesn't want to do that because his latest poll came in at 30, which is not very good. And that is as low as Harry Truman and Richard Nixon at this stage, whereas Bill Clinton, the pervert, had a 62, so you figure it out. And
Hold that thought there. We'll be right back, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Somebody had written to Bob Chapman and asked him if he thought that the President Ahmadinejad of Iran was intentionally trying to provoke a war. Bob said he didn't know, but he didn't think so because it wasn't logical. And I say I think he is trying to provoke a war because it isn't logical, but then nothing is logical today. And if it isn't logical, then there has to be another explanation. And that's covered in my February newsletter, which is available up on the Internet. But go ahead, Bob.
Well, I've never known you to be illogical.
Well, I mean,
after all these years, my goodness.
There has to be an explanation, and since there's no logical explanation, there has to be another explanation, and that is my February newsletter. But you go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think you've got to look at the history, and we've been told, if you look for it, and we do, and we've been told that there has been almost 3 years of back-channel negotiations between top illuminists in Europe and the Iranian government. And if you remember in the forecaster, I said that about 3 weeks ago, the Swiss sent a special ambassador to Iran to try to fix it so there wouldn't be a war. And, you know, the Swiss don't make that kind of an announcement unless they get a pretty good idea they might have some success. And so, well, George's floating armadas offshore and bringing thousands more troops into the Middle East. You've got this back channel going on with the top illuminists. So if George moves in the Middle East and it becomes disastrous, I will give him a plug nickel for living more than a month or two, because they'll zap him. And I said that before, and I stand by it, because what he's doing is not what they want them to do. I just picked up a piece out of London today. I haven't even written about it yet in my pile here. And we're talking about troops over in Iraq, and one of the fellas in an interview, this was an American soldier, said that half of his company, after they had served over there, and their enlistments came up, excuse me, they didn't re-enlist. They became mercenaries. And, you know, the guys in the field are making 25 grand a year, and the mercenaries are making 100 to 200, depending upon how efficiently they kill people and in a professional expertise. And so what we're facing here, which is another aspect of this war, is that there's this Praetorian Guard being built up. We already know it's over 50,000 people from 29 nations, and they keep on building on it, and I think they're looking for perhaps a couple hundred thousand, so that if the administration has problems in the United States, they'll send the mercenaries after them.
You know, it's like King George's the Hessian troops that they sent to put down the colonists. So we have another King George who might be doing the same thing, because certainly he's doing everything he can to destroy the American army. These boys are coming home. A third of them are ill after they get home here. So many are certainly depressed, and the incidence of casualties, the incidence of suicide, the incidence of desertion are on the rise. And, of course, the average American doesn't understand that anybody could intentionally want to destroy our own military, but they're in the process of doing it.
Well, the average person throughout the world, and never mind Americans, are essentially dumb, and that's just the way it's always been, and it always will be. I mean, in America, 55% of the people are functionally illiterate, and 8% of 9% of them read.
Well,
I
think the remarks made by Henry Kissinger is quoted by Woodward and Bernstein in their book, The Final Days. Henry Kissinger was quoted as saying of our military, stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy purposes. That's the attitude of the elite towards our fighting men, our boys, women.
And it has been for the last 1,000 years.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it's so blatant to see the audacity of Henry Kissinger, the president's mentor, making that statement.
Well, you know, they have this cabal, and they think that they're better than everybody else, and that they can do what they want to do. They're very arrogant about it, which is something they never were in the past. And they think they're getting close to world government, and I think they're mistaken, but I think Americans, in order to stop it, are going to pay a terrible price. But they deserve it. I mean, they won't listen, and those who do hear our program and all the other programs that we're on and know what's going on just refuse to participate, to talk about it. They're in denial. And, you know, you get the kind of results that you're supposed to.
Well, Bob, we've got a lot of good people at least listen to our program. And after a while, after they get through thinking they were crazy, they begin to be afraid that maybe we're not. And hopefully more and more people are beginning to understand really what is really behind this whole thing and the powerful spiritual forces which are energizing these people who want to destroy America and bring about a world government and a new world religion and a new world leader. But go ahead, Bob. Tell us what you think is unfolding as far as the markets are concerned right now. That stock market's staying up, although the price of gold and silver has been moving rather nicely this last week or so. It seems to be on a steady upward move, and almost as if the markets know things that we don't.
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury are using well over $1 trillion a day. They can go as high probably as 8 to 10 trillion if they choose to, each and every day to manipulate markets. And if enough people sell, they get a problem. And I say that in reference to the market averages such as the Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ. And the chickens will come home, and they will roost. What's now befouling the intentions of the Treasury, in particular, in relation to gold and silver, is that they're running out of gold, and the physical market's killing them. Who's doing that? The women in India, the Middle East, and China. They don't buy jewelry in the sense that we buy it. They buy gold, 23 or 4 carat bangles, and they put them away in a safe place. And they continue to do that as times are good because they don't trust their currency, which is deliberately devalued a certain percentage each year, or has been for many years. And, you know, they're afraid that their husband might unexpectedly die at an early age, so they'll be able to take care of themselves, because if they don't, nobody else will. And so the apple cart of the elitists has been upset by the women of those regions. And they must be really beside themselves in regard to this, because that's not something they could never figure on. That was something you couldn't write in, that something like that would happen. And so in gold and silver, and particularly gold, which usually is a leader because it's a monetary metal, you're in a situation where the physical market is going to eventually kill the manipulation. And right now, at our closes today, if gold is up tomorrow, it'll break out. Or even in the next few days or the next couple of weeks, because it's at a very important point. And I believe that it will break out. And I think it'll go through 7:30 like it wasn't even there.
Well, I noticed that if you look over at what's going on in Dubai, why, of course, it's about $10 ahead of what it is in the American exchange. So I think you're absolutely right. I think it was at 682, 685 in Dubai. So, and that means it suggests that there's a lot of pressure for it to rise here in our market.
What they're using is puts. And when somebody sells a put, the normal procedure, rather than going naked, is to go into the market and short gold. And so sometimes they don't do that. They run naked, and sometimes they lose a lot of money. But that's what the market for the futures is about. And we're not going to beat them in the futures market, but we are in the physical market. So everybody who is into stocks and should be into bullion and coins and shares as well, as a well-rounded investment.
Right.
Bullion's the most important factor, but there's mega buyers out there who know what we know, and they're not going to let up. They're not going away.
You mean they're accumulating
gold? Central banks know that.
Right. We're going to be back in just a moment or two with Bob Chapman, and we're going to be discussing what's really happening in the financial markets. The information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or MSNBC or the other places, because, ladies and gentlemen, America's facing serious financial times. And it's about time the American people were told the truth. So hopefully just hang on. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Well, Bob, I was reading this last week about the exchange-traded funds, which supposedly are supposed to have, gold on hand or silver on hand to cover all.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Already taken a run, do you anticipate that they will continue going up? And Garcia is still quite optimistic, and he mentioned a couple of stocks if you'd like to get his international forecaster. And I am not a financial advisor, but I think it's interesting to get all sorts of ideas on what's really going on out there. I think that the people are going to have to remember the three rules of investing: diversify, but be in things of intrinsic value, because the dollar, I fear, is in a death spiral heading down towards destruction. So pick up the story, Bob.
Well, I think Capella, because we had a breakout in uranium this last week, and over $100 a pound. It wasn't all that long ago. 3 years ago, it was $20. And I think it's going over $200. And to make a long story short, everybody's going to have to go to nuclear power, whether they like it or not. And with that said, I think this one's going to be a good one. And as time goes on, over the next year, we'll have six or seven more stocks, and people will make more money. I've been doing this for 47 years, and nobody pays me to do anything except my subscribers. And I think that they certainly have their money's worth. They made a lot of money, and they'll continue to do so, or at least until this run in gold is over, and we're 2 to 3 years away from that.
You mean the run being,
you know,
over? Or
this really, it's not really too late to get in.
All right. You think the gold is going and silver going to run for 2 or 3 more years?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to take time to get up to 2,200, and then it's going to take time for the market to go berserk. Markets never do what they should do. They do what, you know, the madness of crowds makes them do. And maybe gold's not worth 4,000 or 6,000 or 8,000, wherever it's going to go to. And I don't know, and nobody else does either. But you always have that madness. And quite frankly, it's the only game left in town.
What about
stocks are
going to
go down, interest rates are going to go higher. My projection, as you just saw in the forecaster, is I expect a 2% increase in interest rates over the next 2 years. And that's to keep the dollar from falling totally into the cellar, if for no other reason, plus to compete with other governments who are selling bonds whose yields and net return is far better than the dollar. And so the only place left is commodities and gold, and, you know, copper's already gone from 60 cents to $3.53 a pound. It had a high of $3.94. I think copper's going to go to $6. But I also think that gold's going to do a lot better, and silver as well. And so I think, you know, anybody who is not in the gold-silver market needs to have their heads examined.
Well, now, where do you think, certainly if gold goes to $2,200, where do you think silver is going to go?
If it goes to $2,200, what?
Where do you think that silver is going to go?
$100 or more. And, you know, you take those two stocks, Agnico Eagle and Silver Standard,
mm-hmm.
Right now, they're selling in the 30s. They should be selling for over $100 each. They'll both go to $200 or more. And some of these little stocks that are $1 and $2, some of them will go to $30, $40, $50. I've been in these markets for 47 years. I've seen it happen 5 or 6 times, but particularly in 1978 to 1981. And it's going to happen again, only bigger. Because the problems are much bigger today than they were during the 1930s. And the same mistakes have been made. The only thing that they're not doing, they being the Fed, is they are not cutting back on money supply like they did in 1928, 9, and 30, which actually caused the Depression. They're continuing to create money and credit like there's no tomorrow. And I think that the 10% that they're increasing it, plus the 4%, that is being created by business in credit, I think that will double in the next 2 years.
And if that happens, what you're really saying, that you think that the dollar is going to lose half of its value here in the next couple of years.
I would think that would be a fair estimate.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. And, of course, if you'd like to talk to Bob, give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Bob Chapman. And as we're talking about what's going to happen, Bob thinks that SNA gold could go up to 2,200 and maybe much higher, that silver could go to 100, to even to 200. And we don't know where these things are going. This is the thing. But when people suddenly begin to panic, when they suddenly begin to realize that there's a real monetary problem, they'll certainly begin turning to the precious metals, as we saw back in, was it, what, 79 or 80, when people were standing there frantically trying to buy silver at $50 an ounce, when they should, of course, have bought it earlier and been selling it at that time.
Well, we foresaw this early, and in 75, we started moving in a big way into the stocks in Canada, because after the Soweto riots, and having lived in South Africa and Rhodesia, I said that I'm not going to invest there anymore because I see nothing but trouble. And the Canadians that we were involved in at that time, which were relatively new to me, as had always done South Africans during the previous years within the gold-silver markets, we were buying stocks at 35 and 50 cents that went into the 50s. So people, you know, can't say to me, well, gee, I don't believe that. Well, I was there. And I saw people make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And if you, you know, you do your homework like we do at the International Forecaster, you're going to have some of the better stocks that are going to perform, and your assets are going to be protected, because if all the assets you own drop 70%, which is a reasonable amount in the Depression, and your gold has gone up 500%, or 600 or 700%, or your shares or whatever, you've been able to maintain your wealth. And that's what this is all about. It's not really about making money. It's about keeping together what you already have.
Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, you know, certainly as we're looking and seeing what's happening, so many people think that their pension fund's going to be there. We did an article this last week about the New Jersey pension fund, where, oh my goodness, these people have got all these wonderful benefits coming, and the only trouble is there's no money there and no way to raise it for New Jersey. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, of course, is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to Bob. But before we go on, Bob, I'd like you to get out your telephone number. I'd like you to get out your web page so that people would know how to get in touch with you, and maybe perhaps even get the copy of the International Forecast, which I read certainly religiously every time it comes.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, economics, political and social issues all over the world. And we've been publishing for 17 years. And we have an issue that normally goes out on Wednesday and Saturday by email, which runs usually around 25 or 30 pages. And then we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month as well. And so for those of you who would like to visit our site, that address is TheInternationalForecaster.com. TheInternationalForecaster, FORECASTER.com. If you'd like to get a free introductory copy, you can go there, or you can call toll free to 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188, and we'll send you a copy. And anything that you wanted to know or need to know about what's going on in the categories that I mentioned, we cover it.
And of course, it's a fascinating read, and I certainly always look forward to seeing what Bob has to say on these issues. So if you have a question for Bob, why give us a call? But, you know, really, so many people think that there's going to be security in their pension fund. And as I was commenting during the break there, why, there's an article recently about the state of New Jersey that all of the unions are demanding that the politicians give them more money for their pension and for the medical care when they retire, if they retire early. And, of course, the politicians do the courageous thing. They give whatever they are asked to. The trouble is that states, unlike the federal government, can't print money. So where are they going to get the money from? Well, when you figure out actuarially where the state of New Jersey is, they owe about $56 billion for their owed on their pension fund, and there is no way to get that $56 billion. So when the state employees of New Jersey retire, there's no pension fund. They're talking about selling the New Jersey Turnpike to try to raise at least some money, so that they'll be able to pay off some of the pension funds they have. But and all across America, various states are trying to figure out what they can sell to the foreign investors who have all these dollars, and they want to unload them. And what we're doing, basically, is selling off the infrastructure of our society that the people have bought and paid for, so that the special interest groups will be able to get their pension and benefits from government. But that's not going to be very, very well taken by the people, because the people now are going to have to pay exorbitant fees to ride on the New Jersey Turnpikes, which they had bought and paid for, and previously, at least, the money was not going out of the country. So, certainly, this seems to be increasingly a trend, doesn't it, Bob?
Yes, it is, all over the country, and all over Europe as well. And it was poorly planned, the pensions, as well as the government, Social Security, et cetera, where there's no money in there at all. And what they have to do, I think, is just cut pensions in half. And they'll probably have to cut Social Security in half. And if you're in a depression, that's not going to be that bad, because an apple's not going to cost a dollar anymore. It's going to cost 50 cents. And so, when it comes to that, as long as 50% of the income is there, it's okay. For those who are working, we might have 35% unemployment. I mean, we get over 13% right now because there's so many people who have dropped out of the workforce, and they're either on welfare or they got some little thing going where they're not paying taxes. These people were never counted anymore. That's why it's over 13%. And that's been going on since 1990. And so, you know, this is nothing new. And that's going to continue. One of the things that could really turn America around and really help, it's not going to make the Depression go away, but I got to explain the history of it and what it is. In 1928, 1929, and 1930, the Fed cut off money and credit to the economy, and we went into a depression. The stock market collapsed because it was on 90% margin. The trusts, which were after that banned, and most of them were run by banks, which also had brokerage firms, a law was passed not allowing banks to have brokerage firms anymore. Of course, that's been reversed again recently since then. And we also had most of the loans for homes were interest only. And so with all those factors together, cause recession. But if you talk to anybody in the business world or in Wall Street, they will tell you that the increase in tariffs from the Smoot-Hawley Act was responsible. And that is not true. The act wasn't passed until 1930, later in the year, and it didn't really go into action until 31. And the tariffs were minuscule, and everybody else was doing the same thing. Minuscule, 1 to 5%. They were not big. And so that was really an afterthought. But what is that solution I'm talking about? The solution right now is to destroy free trade and globalization. Keep American contract companies from offshoring and outsourcing. And you know how you do that? You get your Congress to pass legislation which will put tariffs not only on goods coming into the United States, particularly from those ex-American companies, but also on services. And that is the way we'll get our economy back. And it's got to be done, like, right now. So if you were thinking about something to do because you had some leisure time, you email or write or call every congressman and every senator in Washington and say, I don't believe in free trade. It's killing our country. I want a fair trade agreement with tariffs on goods and services as well. And that will allow America to recover even if we go into depression.
Well, Bob, I agree with everything you're saying, except that I think there are people who really want to destroy our economy and want to impoverish our people and want to raise our living standards to that of the Mexican peasant. And I think that, you know, that's why they're not going to allow this if they possibly can, because they really, of course, hate America and everything it stands for, and some of them are the most powerful and wealthy people in this country. So, you know,
I tell you, you're absolutely correct, and you know I agree with you on that. But we've got to try.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't
because
try.
I applaud you. We're sunk anyway, and we're close to the end. We're within 2 or 3 years of financial collapse in this country. And if we don't take some steps toward that end and make them work, we're doomed.
And I agree
with
you.
The only other alternative we have is fighting in the streets. And I don't want to do that. I don't think anybody else does either.
I don't know. You're absolutely right, Bob.
That will bring about world government because of the destruction of our economic and financial structure. And that's where we're headed. And that's the solution. You know, all too often on the programs, everybody complains about everything and doesn't have any solutions. Well, I do. And that's the solution. And maybe it won't work because of the powerful, illuminist, elitist, internationalist interest. We may not be able to defeat them, but we got to try. I mean, Stan, that's why you and I are on the radio at our age.
Amen to that. Well, I agree with you.
When everybody else is sitting around, laying around, having heart attacks and watching television.
Growing old.
I mean, we're healthy.
And,
that's why we do what we do. It's certainly not the money, because nobody pays me anything except my subscribers. And they pay for a subscription.
Well, anyway, I appreciate everything you do, Bob, and you know I agree with you. I'm just trying to get our people to think, to understand there really are evil and wicked people out there. But, yes, we have to do the best we can. And if I didn't think there was hope, you know, I would not be doing what I'm doing 5 hours a day, which is a lot of time on the talk radio for somebody's my age. Anyway, I'll have to admit that it keeps you young, keeps your blood pressure going. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I would tell our listeners, I think we are entering the most dangerous period in our nation's history. I agree with Bob totally on that. I think we're entering a period which has the potential for chaos and crisis, for the collapse of our currency, and of course the stability of a society is based upon the stability of the monetary system. And we have a monetary system that is totally unstable. And my fear, Bob, is that if we do launch an attack on Iran, which everything, at least that I read, convinces me that is the case, that much of the rest of the world, if we were to lose an aircraft carrier or two, or lose a fair number of men there in the green zone, stationed in the green zone, and people saw that America really was rather weak and incapable of accomplishing anything, looked great on paper, but all you need to do would be to lose one carrier or two carriers, and they're all bunched up there in the Persian Gulf. I think the hyenas would turn on us so rapidly and begin dumping our dollars, even if it hurt themselves. And that would collapse the economy here in America. I think that there's a very real possibility that something like that could happen literally overnight.
I think you're right, but I think if they attack Iran with the equipment that Iran has, we will lose the entire fleet. Now, they may turn the place into a parking lot, but we're going to suffer grievously, and we will lose many, many planes.
Of course, nobody's ever pointing out the fact that the Russians actually support our position as far as Iran than the United Nations. In other words, they voted with the United States to apply sanctions on Iran. They could have vetoed it, and that would have been the end. We couldn't have, of course, justified going to war at all because it had been vetoed by the United Nations. The Russians are supporting it on one hand, or supporting America on one hand. On the other hand, they are equipping Iran with a very highly sophisticated both anti-aircraft and anti-ship missiles. Now, why would they be doing that? Why would they be encouraging us to go to war with Iran on one hand and then equipping Iran with highly, very, very sophisticated weapons unless they'd love to fight to the last American soldier and the last American carrier in the Gulf? And where is the outcry from our leaders saying, don't you realize you're falling into their trap?
Well, you're absolutely right. And you know, the only place you find any comment about those kind of things or any solutions or any actions that would lead us to believe those things would happen is in newsletters and on the Internet.
Right.
You're not going to get it on any of the programs on television. I think the only exception, perhaps, is Lou Dobbs. And other than that, there is none, because the rest of the so-called conservative hosts don't understand. In fact, I find myself more in sympathy with the liberals because they're catching on.
Yeah, exactly.
They never really understood, but now they do, and that's great.
We're
one people, and we want to work together.
I hate to say that I agree with Rosie O'Donnell, but I saw her, her interchange on the YouTube, and I will have to say, Rosie, you did a great job. I mean, I don't like a lot of what you stand for, but she hit the nail right on the head. Well, we've got Jeff calling from Montana. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Real good. How are you, Dr. Stan?
Well, fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I just, it concerns me that, you know, I like to email, you know, congressmen, email government employees, but what would you say the odds that your email or letter or any type of communication regarding you know, shipping jobs overseas or putting a tariff on products coming into the country, I think that's a great idea. But what would you say the odds are of an email or a letter doing anything or getting the attention of anybody?
Right,
well, when they come in, they're put in two piles, for and against. And that's why so many of them never get answered. They just go into piles. And they count the piles, and I'm sure that they have four piles, two piles, yes and no, for constituents, and two piles for the rest of the Americans who send things in. And that's their weather vane. And if the communications are 67 to 33 that they should vote for impeachment of George Bush, maybe that's what they should do if they want to stay in office. Or if they want free trade legislation and tariffs, and the vote is 65 to 35, I think they might vote for it.
So they're really maybe...
You've got to let them know. They are watching, I can tell you that.
Okay, that was my major question. So there really could be a silver lining to their selfishness and their wanting to get reelected. Could be a silver lining there. They're going to see which way the public opinion goes, and hopefully, if enough people listen to shows like this, maybe that'll get their attention.
Just keep sending those emails. We have to, because I will tell you that on a number of occasions, I've seen the congressmen back down and run for cover when they realize that the public realized how they had voted, and they immediately said, oh, shucks, we don't know how that happened, and they did the right thing. So you don't give up hope, Jeff. Just keep doing it. Our job is to get the information out, to keep the pressure on, and, well, we'll see what happens. Thanks so much for calling, and let's go
Thank
to Eddie calling here from Calgary. Hi, Eddie. How you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Good to talk to you again. I have two questions here, one for you and one for the guest, Mr. Chapman. I just received your February newsletter, and I've been digesting it. And what jumped out at me was this carrier force strike force, Eisenhower and Stennis. Anyway, you mentioned the source was saying that they were worried about the swarming tactics that Iran had been practicing in the past. And I have a question. The recent capture of the British sailors and that, and then the declaration of the officer involved, does that smack of a preliminary exercise? In other words, is this sort of confirming everything that you're saying here on this floor, that something is imminent?
Well, I don't know if anything is imminent, because there's two factions arguing over whether it should be an imminent event. I believe that the British boat event was put together by the U.S. and British counterintelligence, and I think it was a sucker trap for the Iranians, and they didn't go for it.
Right. The other question is, an alternative to gold, would Swiss francs be possible?
Buying yes, Swiss I like francs. Swiss francs, especially Swiss franc government bonds.
Well, I hear the music, so I want to thank Dr. Stan for his letter.
God bless. Thanks very much, Eddie.
God bless you.
Good night.
Okay.
Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, if we have 3 minutes, we shouldn't have shut it off. Well, if you want a free copy of the International Forecaster, you can call toll-free to 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And if you want to visit our site on the Internet, the address is the International Forecaster, FORECASTER.com. And we welcome your inquiries, and we're here to educate, Stan and I both. And we just do it in different ways, and I must say, Stan, we've helped a lot of people.
Well, I think we have. I know some of the people that have listened to us and had taken your advice and, you know, did the right things back there when it was the right time to sell their homes. And I know one of our friends, you know, sold his expensive home here in Santa Cruz, moved up north, and actually bought 3 or 4 homes there. And now, of course, he's got a regular rental income coming in for life. So, you know, at least if we can help people, that's what it's all about.
That's right. We've been fortunate to stay healthy to be able to do that. Everybody I know is dying.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we'll be here as long as God wants us to be, and I think that's certainly, as far as you're concerned, your message, I think, is a very, very powerful one. You speak with an air of authority, having been through these things before, and certainly we are entering the period of the demise of the American currency. I mean, there's no question at all. And I think anybody with half an ounce of intelligence realizes that no country can continue having to borrow several billion dollars every day just to pay its bills indefinitely, and no country ever spent itself into prosperity. And if we don't get things under control, and I don't see any way we're going to, why, of course, we're on the in that downward spiral, that so many other countries have followed as they become irresponsible, motivated by greed on the part of the individuals and greed on the part of the politicians, hoping that they'll be able to retire and get out before the whole house of cards get tumbling down. Well, Bob, we're going to look forward to having you with us again this month. I think we are all lined up for this program this month, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we got another one on here.
All right, fine. We'll just get in touch and we'll get
We put them on the site, incidentally, so everybody can see them. Let's see if I can spot one here. There we go. Friday the 27th.
Look forward to it. Thanks very much. Good night.
Okay, bye bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener supported, and we really depended on those who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day trying to sound the alarm. We're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a financial battlefield, political, ideological, cultural, educational, and most people don't even know that there's a battle going on for the souls of men. and the survival of Christian civilization, but they're going to know there's a problem before long, and that's why my job is to educate you, and your job is to be able to explain to people how it all came about, and how America was lost, and how America possibly can be reclaimed if they understand our heritage. Our heritage of freedom, which has nothing to do with race or land, it has to do with an idea, this wonderful idea, that God gave us our rights, and those rights must be protected by limiting the power of government over the lives of the people. Well, to understand what's really going on, first of all, let me suggest that you get my talk, Forbidden Secret. It's a brand new talk, and it really gives you insight into what the secret is that's been passed down for 5,000 years by philosophers. It's very similar to the secret that Rhonda Byrne talks about in her DVD, The Secret, which she made before I ever gave my talk. And, of course, we talk about the same secret. But she wants people to access it, and I warn them against it, as I would, warn them away from a roaring fire that is going to consume them. But there is a secret, because there is another dimension, and you can contact that dimension, but you do so at the risk of your eternal soul. Forbidden Secret, and you can get that with the syllabus if you'd like or without, but it will really give you information and understanding of the president's speeches as he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. The angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. Who is the angel? And what about when the president speaks of the when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Well, is that why we're over in Iraq today? Is that why we're going to attack Iran and go to war with the Muslim world? Is there something to do with an ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled? And how is that being played out in the Middle East? You need to get, of course, our February newsletter. We'll make that available to you. Go up on the internet and get it. Or if you'd like to get a free copy of my February newsletter, which explains what is really going on in the Middle East, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. I hope you'll get my talk on Brotherhood of Darkness. I hope you consider very seriously Chris Pinto's DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Riddle in Stone. I just watched it, I guess, this 2 days ago, for the second time all the way through, and believe me, I learned something from it. Now, I happen to be in that DVD, along with a lot of very, very bright people, and I don't contribute that much, but it's fascinating as Chris puts all of these interviews together and then shows you the architecture of our nation's capital and who it was who laid out the architecture of our nation's capital and what this has to do with Pythagoras. And the dictum A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Fascinating information, but you cannot understand anything going on today unless you understand the secret architecture of our nation's capital and the destiny of America, America's secret destiny, as laid out by Mandy P. Hall, who is a Satanist, who established the Philosophical Research Society in Southern California. You'll see this all described in Riddles in Stone. Remember, of course, Joe Schimmel's wonderful DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. If you'd like information on any of this, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And if you'd like a free catalog, why, I would be glad to get it for you. And we'll be back in just a moment for the next hour here at Radio Liberty. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for this next hour, we're going to change everything. And we have this Mr. Thomas Deckard, a reverend. He's messianic. He's Jewish. And basically, our good friend Herman, who often works here at the studio as one of the producers, has heard Reverend Deckard speak in the past. And he's going to be putting my understanding is a seminar in Northern California, perhaps either this week or next week. And so we thought we'd invite him to come onto the program. And, you know, certainly there are certain people, I believe, that God has called to warn people about what is going on in our society today. And I do know that certain people, and I've talked to a number of people who are Jewish, who've actually had almost supernatural experiences that has brought them to a recognition that Yeshua is the Christ, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And certain people have different experiences that draw them to the Lord. So, anyway, right now we're going to get Mr. Thomas Deckard and have him tell you about, you know, his ministry. And I should point out, my understanding is he lives totally on faith. His ministry is, you know, has caused him simply to give up earthly things, and he looks to God to provide for him. And God has been very generous to keep him going. How long have you been in your ministry, Thomas?
I've been in the ministry for 31 years.
All right. Well, why don't you just sort of, you start talking here, and I'll just be quiet for a while.
Okay, fine. Well, in order to maybe to bring your listeners to a place of understanding a little bit about my ministry, I've been given open visions since I was 8 years old, which obviously would have disturbed not so much me being a young boy, but certainly disturbed my mother. And for a while, they really thought that maybe I needed some psychological help, because I would have the visions and tell my mother what was about to happen in the next day or so, and sure enough, it would come to pass. So it didn't take long for the people in the small area that I lived in to begin to realize that I was quite different to be an 8-year-old boy to be able to having these kind of experiences. And of course, after 31 years of ministry, these things happen to me not on a daily basis. I probably have 6 or 7 open visions a year, and that's what happens to me. By the way, the room will light up. I'll be praying or whatever I'll be doing, and the room will light up, and all of a sudden I'm somewhere that I have no idea in this world where I'm at until I'm told. And as the Lord begins to reveal to me, actually an angel reveals that to me, and I then am told what I'm to prophesy, what I'm to say, and I go forth and do that. And as I said, I've been doing that for 31 years. During those 31 years, none of these open visions have ever not come to pass. Now, there's some of them that are still going to come to pass, but as far as the majority of what I've been able to give in these visions, they have all been exactly what I have read in them and been told to prophesy to the people. So therefore, it makes it, as I tell people, it's not a small, still voice. It is an open vision, just like you would look at a huge television screen, I suppose. But that's the way God has used me for all these years. And in fact, the last time that I was in California.
Oh, I thought we were going to be back here in just a moment to talk along with Mr. Thomas Deckard. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and why don't you go right ahead? You were saying that last time you were in California, what?
Oh, the last time I was in California, God gave me a vision, and I prophesied and told the people the vision God had told me that he sent me there to speak judgment to the state of California. Now, that has happened to me all over this world. In fact, I've traveled this world for 20 years. I've prophesied all over this world, the kings, the queens, the prime ministers, and leaders of nations, and had to leave signs with them, and those signs have come to pass, and maybe I can go into some of that in a few minutes here as we go through it. But the California thing was simply to tell the people that the Fertile Valley that grows such beautiful grapes and vegetables and fruits and the things, it was going to begin to fail. And in order for them to understand that they were going to be failing, there was going to be a type of a blight, a type of a bacteria that was going to begin to come on the crops. So that was about a year ago that I was there. And, of course, since I left, they've had trouble with the spinach, the lettuce, the oranges froze, and now they're having trouble, as I understand, with the grape crop. And that is all the beginning. It's, within the vision, it was very plain what God was saying to the state of California is that, along with that in the United States itself, God's not happy with the way we are. God, we've gotten away from the things of God. We've defiled His Word. He has sent prophets. There's always been prophets that He's sent at different times and places, even here to the United States, to the government. And they come to a place of listening not. But as I told them, this will be a beginning of their crops beginning to have big-time failures up and down the state of California. And, of course, when you prophesy these things and the beginning of it has come, the odds of the rest of it not happening is zero, because it's going to happen exactly the way God had shown me that it was going to take place. And I know that a lot of people don't understand that. They say, well, God doesn't bring judgment. And I keep saying over and over again, you must go to the Scriptures. We must become students of God's Word, and we must study, and we must understand that natural disasters is one of the many ways in which God has always brought judgment to His people, to the nations. And we're just a nation that, in this case, greatly been blessed by God, that's turned her back on God, and we've got so many things going. I can remember.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back in just a moment, Reverend. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Thomas Decker, who has a prophetic ministry, and he was saying that certainly he had come to California about a year and a half ago, a little over a year ago, and God had given him a vision that were going to be terrible things were going to be happening to the crops that were grown here in California. And he pointed out that there's been orange problems with our orange crops, problem with our spinach crops, certainly the E. coli and the spinach. And but this is just the beginning. Do you anticipate there are going to be a serious food problems as far as it? Because California is sort of a breadbasket for, in many ways, the whole country for fruits and vegetables.
Yes, it's in the vision that God has given me. America is going to actually see, we're going to see our children actually starve in the streets. And I know that sounds to be completely ridiculous because the fact that this is America, we have helped feed the world and all the things that we have done. But again, God has sent prophet after prophet through the generations to plead with the government of the United States that they would repent and turn themselves back unto the living God and serve Him. But we've decided that we know all we need to know, and we don't need God anymore here in the States. And I said very, very openly that when we elected Bill Clinton as the President of the United States of America, God had me on TV and radio prophesying and saying that the end was come upon us, because the first time that this nation had ever elected a man to stand in the office of president that was for openly for the gays, and openly for abortion. And no other president at that time had ever stood up on that platform. And God said, He said, you tell them this is the beginning of the end. And ever since that time, we have watched this one thing after another, after another, after another has come to the United States. I prophesied through the years, starting back in the mid-'80s, the countless fires that you're having out in that part of the country was going to become worse. They were going to be bigger. And again, the reason is it's judgment from God that the hurricanes were going to be more hurricanes, and they're going to get stronger and stronger. And I know at that time God sent me all the way down the east coast of Florida, the west coast of Florida, all the way around through the Gulf to the tip of Texas, prophesying and telling the people this is going to happen. But the best thing they could do is sell their homes while they had something to sell and move inland. And of course, we saw the things that have happened two hurricane seasons ago, and the thing with Katrina. And as I said, it's not over. Just because we had a lull in the action this past hurricane season doesn't mean by any means that this thing isn't going to pick back up and these storms come and begin to do. And the same thing with the tornadoes. I prophesied in 92 that bless God with a vision that the tornadoes were going to double here in the United States in that coming year. And sure enough, they doubled. And today it's nothing to have 65, 70 tornadoes stretching out across the Midwest here in one day's time. Unprecedented, unheard of types of things like this that are happening. And they're going to keep on happening. I saw, and I know there's been many people that have come through California saying that they had seen a vision, or God spoke to them that there was going to be a great earthquake. And I have seen that earthquake. I've seen a large portion of California fall off into the Pacific Ocean, so much so that the President of the United States will call it a day of mourning for the United States, for the state of California. And it's all because of sin. You know, there was a time, I know in the mid-70s, the Lord God took me in a vision and told me that California, specifically San Francisco area, had now surpassed the sin of Sodom. And I you know, it's hard for me to grasp onto that. I thought, oh my, surely that this can't be, that this nation has let itself come to such a place of that. Of course, today we've got gays in our government, and openly being married, and the things that are going on. And you know, brother, a lot of people, they want to say, well, you know, you hate the gays, and that, no, that's not it at all. I love the gays enough to tell them that they're going to burn in hell for eternity. The Word of God will not tolerate that. There's no way that God's Word is true. And of course, being a Messianic Jew, and by the way, that just simply means that I am a Jew that found Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I serve Him. I'm filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, which is Hebrew for the Holy Ghost, and I'm a prophet. And so I traveled the country. God, about 2 years ago, well, coming up 2 years ago, I was coming back from the South, or it was Africa. I'd been over there, had done a crusade there for 2 weeks, and I was coming home, and the Lord spoke to me and said that He was going to show me the United States of America. Now, I hadn't been in America to done ministry, just to come back here long enough to raise money to go back to the third world for 18 years. I felt like that, you know, that I'd been rejected. They called me a gloom and doom preacher, that it was, you know, that they, people wanted to hear peace, and they still, for the most part, want to hear peace. But anyway, God made the arrangements and got me connected with a national radio program, and I've been traveling the United States ever since then, and people have been kind enough, like yourself, to have me on their programs, and I'm getting out the things that God wants me to get out. And right now, I'm trying desperately to get out this thing that God gave me back in 2005 about this coming bird flu, the H5N1, that it's going to happen, it's going to come, and there's going to be millions of people are going to die, and it's going to devastate America. And you know, it's something, brother, that a lot of people that are interested, people that are in place where, instead of me going city to city to cry this out, that this thing's coming, could put me on their TV programs, and bless God, I could cover millions of people. But their problem comes down to the same thing, I guess, the world is itself. It's called money, and it's called their ratings, and they're afraid to have me on because they bit very, very hard into the Y2K thing that obviously didn't happen. This prophet was prophesying for a year before that strike of midnight, that it wasn't going to happen, because that's what God took me in the vision and showed me. And the people are afraid that, you know, if this bird flu thing doesn't happen, then their ratings are going to tumble again, and there they're going to be. Well, I can't blame them, bless God, for feeling that way. But as I said, there's a time to believe God. And these same people that tell me these things are, of course, the same people that say how well they know God, and God's saying this and God's saying that. And I keep saying, well, you know, just pray and see what God's telling you about what I'm telling you. Now, the wild thing about this plague that's coming, this pandemic that's going to sweep the United States and the entirety of this world, when that vision came to me, it was so strong, and God began to show it to me, and He told me exactly. He said this thing is going to come out of the chickens over in Vietnam, over in Asia. It's going to go into the get ducks and geese, and it's going to begin to travel. And then the other fowl is going to pick it up and going to spread it. And he said it's going to go into other animals and bless God, into livestock. And he said then it's going to become airborne, and it's going to spread quickly throughout the world. Well, of course, today at the point in time we are, yes, that did come out of the chickens. It's the geese and the ducks and the swans and bless God, even in Indonesia, it's in the household cats, and the hogs have even gotten it now. And so it's been fulfilled. The other part of the vision was that I spoke at that point in time was that the President of the United States would come on and tell us that he was going to quarantine the entire nation, and that the army was going to take over and run everything, and that they would distribute the food, and they would do this, and they would do that. And of course, our president has already come on, taken prime time to come on and tell us that if there was to be a pandemic, that he would quarantine this nation. And of course, brother, if he quarantines this nation, that means the stock market's going to go down. Everything that we know today is going to end. Now, the government's not telling us that. It's going to come absolutely in a definite way, but it's really different in the way in which they're trying to tell us but not telling us. The reason they won't tell us is that there would be an out-and-out panic.
Well, do you have any idea when this may happen? You don't have any time frame for this, though.
No, I don't have. You know, that's the difference between me and, I guess, a whole lot of these other wannabe prophets or whatever they are out here that gives a definite day and a time. And, you know, brother, I mean, you keep picking a date, sooner or later you're going to get one that comes right, but you can go down to the local palm reader and they can do that for you. The prophets say aren't into setting dates and times, as we're into trying to warn the people. And what God wants to see is, will the people listen? And what is it going to take for the people to listen?
Well, now, when are you going to be putting this program on? Is it Northern California? When is that live?
Oh, I'm going to be up there in Stockton April 13th, which is this weekend, the 13th through the 15th. It'll be Friday night at 7, Saturday. There'll be three services, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 7 p.m. Then on Sunday, it will have two services, 10 a.m., and again, 2 p.m.
Where's that going to be, if anybody up
there? Oh, I'm sorry. I better tell them. It's a Resident Inn by Marriott at 3240 West March Lane there in Stockton. That's 3240 West March Lane, Resident Inn by Marriott.
Inn by Marriott there. Okay, fine, on West March Lane. So we're going to be back in just a few moments with Reverend Thomas Deckard. Sydney is a prophetic ministry. Is trying to get people to understand that our country faces very terrible problems. They've already passed the legislation, the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act, that gives the president the power to declare martial law in case there is a nationwide epidemic. This legislation was passed last October. They can have the dictatorship for civil unrest or a natural disaster. Why at this time in history would they pass legislation of that nature? You need to learn more about it by getting a 14th set on the Military Commission Act. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Mr. Thomas Deckard, and he's going to be speaking this weekend. Is that what, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. And how have you been getting people to know about your because we just heard about it from our friend Herman.
We have had it on the radio station there. I'm not sure exactly which station it is. I don't take care of that part of it, but we have run spot ads on the radio, and then we have people that come to our website from California, and then we have sent out the postcards to the people that we would have had on a mailing list. And, of course, we are wanting desperately to be able to expand this ministry throughout California, to give people the same opportunity that I have had and many other are having, is to make a choice. Say, well, I believe that or I don't. You know, the things with God has always been choice. And we're coming to a time that we're in desperate times right now of trying to make choices. There's so many voices that are saying so many things, that God said this and God said that and God said go this way and God said that, you know, and God can't be into all that. And I keep saying that, bless God, that this is just the beginning of sorrows. If you want to go into the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll find out that he says this is the beginning of sorrows. And we are in the beginning of sorrows, and this thing is going to become a wax worse and worse, just as the Scripture tells us. And we must prepare ourselves. As I said, the government back 2 years before the HIV thing came, the vision came then to me, and I was on TV and radio here in the Midwest where I live, and I began to prophesy that vision. And in the vision, the Lord told me to tell the people that the government was going to lie to us and tell us that it was a virus, but they had, you know, it was going to be taken care of and everything was fine. And I told them, I said, no, that's not the case. I said, this thing is going to come. There's not going to be a quick cure. It's going to go on for years and years. And I said, millions across the face of this earth, is going to end up dying from it. And, of course, that's exactly what happened. Well, with this pandemic that's coming, Brother Stan, the same thing's is happening. If the United States government was to tell us that, bless God, there is a pandemic going to come. And I'm telling people, you know, it could be 5, 6, 7 years down the road. It could be 10 years down the road. But the deal is to understand that if Noah hadn't prepared, Noah and his family would have died in the flood too. And Noah didn't know when. He was just told to build the ark. And my place is just to tell people to prepare. Now, again, one of the government officials came on and told us here a year or so ago now, I guess, that maybe it'd be a good idea that if you had a little extra money to buy a little sugar and a little this and put it under the bed in case this pandemic comes. Then we had the fellow here within the last 8 months ago, came on, a government official, the top scientist, and he said without a fact, a matter of fact, he said there's going to be a pandemic. This thing is going to go airborne and mutate to get to that point, and millions of people are going to die. Now, the government, again, the reason our government can't tell us, Brother Stan, is because the United States would panic. If everybody in the state of California went out and started putting up food tomorrow morning, there wouldn't be any food anywhere to be had within about 3 or 4 days. And the government knows this. And as I'm telling people, what we watched happen down with Katrina and all of that took place...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is the Reverend Thomas Deckard, who has a prophetic ministry, and he's simply saying that he certainly believes that there's going to be an influenza pandemic. He doesn't know when it's coming, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, but the government knows it's coming and doesn't want to tell people because they know they'd panic. And if everybody was simply to rush out and start laying in food tomorrow, within 24 hours, there wouldn't be any food in California if everybody really started doing something. And so his message to people is to start slowly beginning to get prepared for the difficult times that lie ahead. And I'm certainly convinced that there are going to be difficult times, and whether it'll be a pandemic, whether it'll be civil unrest, whether it will be a nuclear or chemical attack upon our nation, or a financial chaos, I don't know, but I do know that difficult times lie ahead. And it's interesting to hear Thomas Deckard's description of his visions and what he's been told. What have you been told about the possibility of a war with Iran? Do you have any? Have you had any insight into that?
The vision came to me back before Russia fell, and because of their economic problems. 2 years before that happened, the Lord took me into the vision and I saw a great grizzly bear, and it was a huge Kodiak grizzly, and there was a little girl about 4 years old that was sitting there, and she would take food out of a sack, and the grizzly was laying on the ground, and he would open his mouth, and she would place the food in his mouth, and he would chew the food, and then he would lay his head upon the little girl's arm, and he made a sound, and the sound just sounded like something like someone would be saying, "Oh, thank you so very much." It's just this type of a sound that he made, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is Russia," and he said, "Russia is going to fall because of their finances," and he said, "You begin to prophesy." He said, "America is about to put millions upon millions of dollars into Russia's hands. And when the bear is healthy, the bear will bite the hand that fed it." And I began to prophesy that part of that vision for a number of years. And of course, after that 2 year period, Russia fell. It was a financial thing. They've used the ploy. They want to become a democracy. And we gave millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And even the rhetoric today between Putin and the United States, it isn't friendly anymore. In fact, it's gotten right down to the place of Putin saying, "Look, you don't need to be causing any more trouble in the Middle East," meaning America. Now, as this began to develop, and I know with a lot of these national broadcasts that I'm on throughout the United States, the word a year ago was, "Oh, the Palestinians, and they were going to be the ones that was going to cause, you know, the great war that's going to start, and this and that and everything else." And I kept saying, "No, it's Iran." I said, "Iran is going to be the peoples in which is going to bring the great problem. If Iran, if the United States, if Israel, and by the way, if the United States would just stand back and let Israel and this God that we serve, which is their God also, Israel will be okay. But as long as the United States is over there doing what the United States is doing, trying to diplomatically cause this thing to end, they need to read the book, brother. That's not the way this thing's going to end." The divisions kept coming. 2 weeks before the missiles started coming into Lebanon, I had a vision. I saw hundreds of missiles coming from Lebanon into Israel, and I couldn't imagine. I knew it couldn't be nuclear type of explosions, but I just didn't understand. They were just blowing up here or there and everywhere as they hit the ground. And the Lord, in the vision, I began to see that there were Iranians and there were Syrians into Lebanon that was helping set these rockets off. And doing this kind of thing, and the Lord said, "You prophesy, and you tell them." I saw in the vision, I saw Russia making a blood pact with Iran and with Syria. And the Lord spoke to me, and with China. And the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, "They are making the final preparations for the end." And he said, "You must tell the people that they must watch Iran, and they must watch Iran very, very closely." Now, within the vision, I saw fighter jets from Israel with nuclear bombs on board heading out toward Iran to destroy their nuclear capabilities. You know, a number of years ago, they did just exactly that when Iran decided they would go nuclear.
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment. We Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. Reverend Thomas Deckard, and he is certainly telling us about his prophetic ministry and the visions that he's had. And he was just mentioning that certainly he had a vision, and I assume that these... when was this vision that you're describing now, where the Israeli jets were flying towards Iran? Was this fairly recently?
Yes, this probably was within the last two and a half months.
Okay, fine. So you're actually anticipating then that Israel is going to actually attack Iran?
Well, let me tell the rest of the vision, because that's not what has taken place right now. That's not saying that that Israel may not go ahead and conclude this, but as those warplanes were headed toward Iran, our jets from America intercepted them. And I could hear the communication in the vision, and the communication was that the President of the United States was telling them to turn around and go back and land, or the United States would shoot them down, that they were not going to go over and destroy those nuclear plants and nuclear capabilities in which Iran has set forth. And so I know that America has, and at this point, and will intervene. I don't know. I don't have a vision for the fact that if Israel will go ahead and do that, just as a guess, they always have. They know that if in fact, and I don't think there's anyone out here that studies the Word of God who will disagree at all, brother, that Iran doesn't have any reason in this world to have nuclear capability except to destroy the Western world and Israel. That in the moment that they have that capability, they're going to push the button. And if anybody thinks any differently, then you better hang on, because that's what's going to happen if they get to that point. Now, I don't know that they have. The only thing that I saw after that part of that vision, which again I have said over and over for years, it's going to be Iran that's going to build the nuclear devices. It's going to be Iran that's going to, bless God, that is going to cause the problems nuclearly. Now, one part of the vision of Russia that I forgot was where the Lord told me. He said, you contact the State Department, and you tell them that when Russia falls, that the United States must go in and buy up all their nuclear devices.
Hold on, so we'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Reverend Deckard was saying that he had a vision that the Israeli fighter planes, bombers, were flying towards Iran, and of course the President of the United States interrupted them and told them they would be shot down if they proceeded, so the Israeli then returned to the base. And of course it's his feeling that if Israel were left to her own devices, she would be able to handle the enemies that were there, but as long as the United States intervenes, there's going to be nothing but problems. And then he was saying that he was told. Now, was that many years ago when if Russia fell that you were told that we should go in and buy up all the nuclear devices?
Yes, it was, Dr. Stan. That's when I was told to get a hold of the State Department, which I did. Never heard back from them, of course. I'm sure they have lunatics every day write to them and call them and everything else. But I told them exactly what the Lord told me to tell them, that if we didn't buy their nuclear capabilities, buy their scientists and bring them to America, that Iran was going to. And that those nuclear devices would be sent out to different, the different world that wanted to get into the nuclear race would be able to do that. Because again, Russia was selling everything they could sell to make all the money that they could make. Now, at the back part of the vision, God began to show me the United States, and I began to see, and the best of the KGB right now are embedded in the United States. They are embedded in here right along with some of the militant Islamic terrorist groups. And they are waiting, and they're waiting for the time that bless God, that we in the United States would want to think could never happen. I saw through Mexico, I saw 24 nuclear devices, such as what we call the suitcase nuclear nukes, being brought into this country and hid. There's been cities that I've been in that God has awakened me in the early morning hours before it was daylight and begin to show me that this city or that city was going to be totally destroyed by a nuclear bomb going off. And I saw what must have been 400,000 Chinese in Central America. I saw probably was 250,000 Russians up over the border into Canada. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you must tell the people that the United States is surrounded, that they're embedded even now here in the United States of America. And he said, it's only a matter of time. And of course, my message is we must seek the face of God. We must fall upon our faces and we must cry out unto the mighty God that he would spare, our families. Because as far as this nation's concerned, this thing is over. I know people keep saying, well, you know, Prophet Deckard, we're going to intercede and we're going to stop this. And I said, well, that's not consistent with the way things have to happen with this living God. I said, I went back. Brother, I stood on the steps of the Abraham Lincoln Memorial last summer. They invited me there. I was in Washington, D.C., and I was bringing forth these messages. And they called me at the hotel and asked me, would you come? And it was on a Saturday morning. Would you come and do part of the program? They were having an all-day thing for Jesus. And I said, yes, I would if I had the freedom just to speak as God would lead me to speak. And they told me to come. And I stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and I prophesied. And I prophesied as to that hallowed ground that the famous people of our country had walked, men of God had walked and prayed to the living God that we serve. And how that we had gone from generation to generation and we had lost our lust for this living God. And I began to tell the people, Abraham Lincoln did something that was unprecedented. We were losing the war here in the North. And bless God, Lincoln looked around and Lincoln knew that they were praying to the same God that we were praying to. And Abraham Lincoln called his cabinet together and he said, the reason they're winning the war, the North is in sin. And he called them to a three-day fast. They repented for their own sins and the sins of the North. Then he called the entire North to a three-day fast to repent for their personal sins and the sins of the North. And brother, the war turned around. And eventually, the North won. Now, the same thing could happen today if President Bush would call this nation. Call first his cabinet, then this nation, and do the same thing. But this nation's been turned over to reprobate minds. My Lord and my God, somebody come into the government here this winter, laid his hand upon a Koran instead of the word of Almighty God that we serve and this country's built upon, and one swore into the government by using that. And we've taken prayer out of the school system, but if you're in Islam, and you get a room, and those children can go in and pray, the hours in which they call for prayer. Brother, this nation was set up, and I know you know that, under one nation under a living God through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And our forefathers, my forefathers, your forefathers came to this nation that they might serve the Lord Jesus Christ as they saw fit. Now, Islam didn't come here to serve Jesus Christ. And I've had Islamic factions chase me all over this world. Brother, I've traveled this world. I've been amongst the militant Muslims. I've been shot at. They've tried to kidnap me. God would wake me in the middle of the night and tell me to get up and leave. They'd break in, ransack the place looking for me, and I'd be gone. And I know what's on their mind. They're here to destroy the United States of America. And yet, the United States of America, we're so tied up into politics that we can't find the time to get on our faces before this living God and understand we're in trouble. The United States of America is in trouble. We're in trouble because we have defiled God's holy word, and God's coming for his word. And those of us, and the sad thing, my brother, is that those of us who serve God, you read in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, you read, when they went through this stuff, when Israel went through, Babylon came in, and bless God, the ones that were righteous were taken in captivity with the rest of them. So it's not like the God is just going to reach down and pick us up and put us out here somewhere that's believing him and believing his holy word. No, we're going to have to go through this thing, and it's going to be a long, hard ride.
Well, I'm certain that we are facing very, very difficult times now. Oh, is there a telephone number people should call when they're going to come to your conference this weekend? Or
yes, they can call the following number. It's area code 618-262-2810.
Now, give that number one more time.
Area code 618-262-2810.
All right. 618... I'm sorry, 618, what does it get?
262-2810.
I'll ask Herman to write that down up on the board there, in case anybody would like to get that. And Sydney, is there a cost to get into the conference?
No, we never charge for anyone to come in. We'll take up a free will offering, probably not even ever service. We have CDs and books with my ministry, the prophetic side of my ministry, that people can donate toward, and that helps us do what we do. We feed orphans all over the world. As I said, I've traveled the world. I've built churches. I've built over 120 churches throughout the world, and I have orphans and orphanages which we've built all over the world, and we desperately try to take care of those children every month. Many times it is unto our own hurt, but that's the way things happen. I know I've always told people, I said, you know, at the first day of the month, whatever monies we have, we send overseas to the orphans. So we start out the first day of the month absolutely broke. We have no money. If I have to travel right then, I don't have money for a cup of coffee. And people said, oh, I don't understand. Well, my heart's toward those children that can't feed, don't have a means to take care of themselves, and I've been doing this a lot of years, and that's my choice, and I don't say that for people to feel sorry for me. I don't have an insurance program, I don't have a retirement program, or a savings account. I will do this till the day the Lord God takes me home, and that's been my choice, and I love what I do, and people have always taken care of me. They come. Our expenses. We've had some donation by a person to help pay for part of the expenses. But you know, these hotel rooms, they're awful expensive.
I know that certainly from personal experience. But you're just doing this completely on faith.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll hope that people will come there to hear you and speak. And again, once again, the address where you're going to be speaking.
The address is 3240 West March Lane. It's a Resident Inn by Marriott there in Stockton, California.
Or it's not actually the Marriott, but it's by the Marriott.
Yes, it's Resident Inn by Marriott. Now, I'm not sure what that means for sure, but that's what they tell me that the name of it is. But it's there at 3240 West March Lane. As I said, they're in Stockton, and we will be there the weekend. The subject a matter which I'll speak of is in depth about the bird flu. I will talk somewhat about what I spoke tonight about with this thing with Iran, the vision that came a few weeks ago about that.
Now, do you think we're going to have a war with Iran?
I don't know. I don't have a vision for that. And when I don't have those things, there's sure no sense guessing. There's too many people out there doing that now.
Right.
I don't know. Again, if I was going to guess, I would guess that Iran is going to be the people that's going to rise up. You know, this thing they pulled with the 15 British people. They're trying to flex their muscle. They'd like to draw us into a conflict. And I think they think that when they do that, all of Islam is going to sweep down. And then they're going to do what they need to do. But they also know they're going to have nuclear capability in order to start something, because even Iraq, all those years ago, you know, Iraq pretty well did Iran in the war that they had. But I don't know, but if I was going to guess, yeah, I would think that Iran is definitely going to is definitely going to be the culprit in this thing.
All right, well, certainly everything points to the fact that Iran wants to go to war. At least the leaders of Iran want to go to war with the United States, which, as I've said so many times, just doesn't make sense. So
no.
If it doesn't make sense, there has to be another explanation.
No.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now what should the people, of course, you know, we know that we should certainly repent. One of the things, you know, people always quote 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You know, and then everybody goes on, then I will hear them from heaven. They forget that we've got to turn from our wicked ways.
Yeah.
I don't think that the American people are prepared to turn from their wicked ways, because wickedness is just too much fun, at least right now. I think there's going to have to be terrible suffering before the American people are willing to turn from the wicked ways and then seek his face. And then, of course, at that point, he will hear from his heaven and forgive our sins.
Amen.
And heal our land. So what can you and I do? Certainly you are coming from a prophetic point of view. I'm just coming from a point of view of certainly a commentator who's trying to point the fact that we are involved in a spiritual battle. And most people don't understand. Most people don't understand that God does bring judgments on nations, even in days like this.
Yes, and brother, I believe that we're very comfortable in our sin here in America. And unfortunately, we don't seem to ever turn toward God until we're in a bind. As I think is, if the terminology human nature will work there, I guess you could place it there. The shame is that we didn't have to be involved in this if we would have listened. But, you know, we got in such a thing of trying to build monster-sized churches to say, oh, look at us over here, and the Baptists are right, and the Methodists are wrong, and the Pentecostals are crazy, and so forth and so on. And you know, when the Lord, Yeshua Jesus, made this statement, he said, united you shall stand, divided you shall fall. Brother Stan, I believe that we have fallen as the church years and years and years ago. I believe that because the church, you know, there was no need in this country for prayer to ever be taken out of this school, out of our schools. Practically one lady did that. But all the church would have done, brother, was stood up. But the church didn't stand up. We sat back in our ivory towers and we went to sleep. And they took the prayer out. And that's when God took me in the vision and told me. He told me that there would be blood that would flow in the hallways of schools with children killing children. And that was back when that took place, long before the thing happened out in Colorado and Columbine. And we just, as a nation, somehow we think we're invincible. We just don't believe that there could ever be enemy troops in our backyards doing what we're doing. Our government is so divided that it doesn't matter who's right, the other one's saying they're wrong. And here we got over here trying to do something in Iraq, and how right or how wrong that is, well, bless God, I guess history itself will end up bringing an explanation of those things. But the fact of it is, the right part is that we are either going to have to take care of business over there, or we're going to have to end up doing it here in our backyard. And the American people won't buy that, because we have never had to take care of anything in our backyard for so many centuries, all the way back to the Civil War, if you will, that we have no idea what that's all about. And I've said for years and years and years, Brother Stan, traveling the third world, I said, we don't know what we have in America. We don't have any idea. I go so far out into the bush areas that you couldn't find me if you looked for me for a month, and have to sleep in those huts, sleep in those urine floors, which are just the ground itself, and smell that all night long, and come home, and they've got nothing to eat there, and I come home to America, and we have it all. And I said, if everybody could just come with me and spend 2 weeks out into those areas, it would change their life. They'd let them know two things. One, there is a living God, and two, God truly blessed this nation. And we have let this thing go straight down the tubes. You know, people say, well, the devil, the devil. The devil didn't have a thing to do with it. Bless God, we didn't stand up And we didn't take our rightful place with God through His Word is what we didn't do. If we had done that, brother, this nation would still be standing today, and things would be taking place here to the glory of God. And you're right. When this thing goes down, bless God, people are then going to begin to turn to God. And for the ministers that are listening, bless God, preachers, you want to understand, they're going to turn to God. When they find out that their God, this government's not going to take care of them, they're going to turn to the living God. And that's when you ministers are going to be so important to be able to get to these people and to minister the life of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. Because that's when this thing is going to really, really come into its own for us as ministers.
And I really agree with you totally. One reason we do what we do is we're hoping we can reach our people out there and teach them how to minister to people when they're coming looking. Because the only place to look for help will be God. Well, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. What topics are you going to be covering at the seminar?
I'm going to be talking on false prophets and false prophecies. I'm going to go back and probably cover that in about a three-hour session, talking about what God says about those things. I, you know, today, brother, if you're a full gospel minister, spirit-filled minister, if you don't say God said, or you don't have a dream or vision, you're going to find yourself out in the street somewhere, because the people demand that we hear from God. And I think because of that, the people put so much pressure on the ministers that the ministers have succumbed to these things of making things up or having false dreams. I get into familiar spirits because I believe most of it happened to be familiar spirits. But I cover this all by the Word of God. It's not anything that goes back to to the visions that God gives me with this. I go strictly to the Word and bring the Word to the people. And brother, all over the United States I've done this, and there's not been anybody that didn't stand at the end of this segment of this with false prophets and false prophecies that did not stand to repent. Because this thing is serious. There's a curse that goes with saying God said something and when God didn't say it. And we need to understand we've got so many voices out here. Brother Stan, I don't know how in the world that anybody understands who's right and who's wrong. They're just, you know, when I was out there the last time, there's a fellow up in the state of Oregon that prophesied that on Father's Day that there was going to be a tsunami coming there and had people scared out. And I got to Portland and I screamed and jumped up and down. And I said, there's not going to happen on Father's Day. It didn't happen. Now my question is, why didn't it happen if he really had the dream? Or did he have a familiar spirit come? Well, it's not hard to guess that. If God tells you something's going to happen, if it's God, it's going to take place, unless he brings some provision for it to have been changed. So that's going to be the subject. The subject's going to be also within that. I'm going to talk about more of the judgment that God has shown me around the world in America, and I'll be doing the thing about this bird flu that's coming.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, I think that this should be an exciting time. I wish I could be there. It's going to be this coming weekend. It's going to be certainly up there in Stockton. And if you need more information, the number to call, 1-618-262-2810. That's 618-262-2810. Thank you very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. Enjoyed having you.
Thank you for having me on, brother.
And good night. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I wanted you to hear certainly Reverend Deckard and hear his thoughts on this, and it's going to be very interesting. I wish I could go to hear the talk, and you'll have to decide for yourself what you think. But he's a man who really puts his faith so much in God that he gives all of his money every month, and then God just seems to provide for him over a period of years. That's pretty remarkable, and my good friend Herman certainly vouches for his authenticity. In fact, I know Herman has helped him and worked with him in the past. So, anyway, I think it should be an exciting time if you're up in Stockton. Well, I think you might find it well worthwhile going to hear him, and I certainly agree. God doesn't talk to me, but he does give me at least an awareness that we're facing very, very difficult times. And I think you should begin making your preparations financially, fiscally, as far as food and some of the other supplies, and then spiritually. And we are actually suggesting several books that will help you prepare spiritually for what lies ahead. And one of them would be Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. The second would be Don Piper's book, entitled The 90 Minutes in Heaven. And then, of course, we have a book called Living in Hitler's Hell, I believe it is. And, of course, we have a four-tape set on the Holocaust by people who were actually there, who actually lived during that terrible time. And then one of my favorite books, I think is so important, is Hitler's Cross by Reverend Erwin Lutzer, which goes into what happened to Hitler's Germany and what happened to the Christian church in Germany and why so many Germans left the church after the Nazi regime fell, because their ministers had not prepared them for the difficult times that lie ahead. And remember, I was in Germany after the Second World War, and I see those magnificent cities lying in rubble. I would hate to think what happened here, but if God is just, I believe he's going to bring judgment upon this country. So, certainly this is the time we want to remind many of you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com and look at the various items we have there. Many of them will help you to prepare. We do have a food catalog. We have a health catalog. We have a regular catalog. To understand what is going on in Iraq today and the coming war with Iran, and I believe it's coming, we would suggest our February newsletter. It's posted at our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. If you have a computer, please go there. And if not, if you don't have access to a computer, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a free copy if you haven't gotten some of our things recently. And then, of course, we hope many of you want to understand the spiritual nature of what's going on. I want to get my new talk, and it comes with a syllabus if you want to get it. The talk is called Forbidden Secret. That's Forbidden Secret, and you'll get tremendous insight there. Of course, my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness is seminal to any understanding of what's going on now, and then, of course, Chris Pitto's wonderful DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, a second one that's just come out, his Megiddo 1, his Megiddo 2, and then those classic DVDs by Pastor Joe Simmel, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. Why is that important? Well, because many of our rock stars have actually sold their souls, and you'll hear them talking about that, and of course, the relationship to Satanism. But the same thing is happening at the highest levels of our government, and there are people there who have actually made a pact with the devil as well. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.